apologies. Okay, hi everybody, it's Elaine, and welcome to the Wednesday morning PSS call on March 11th, 2015. We are going to talk today about celebrations. I think it would be appropriate to start with celebrations. So let's start off. A couple more people have joined us. Let's find out what's going on in your world and what would you like to celebrate? Who is eager to – actually, I guess I should check in and see who's here, but I can see who's here, so I'm going to capture that. But who has something you'd like to celebrate? Don't all jump in at once. What's going on that's good? Look for the smallest little thing. Cheryl, you're giggling.
I know. I was just thinking, did I give my daughter her medication this morning? Oh, my gosh. I can't remember.
And, you know, the celebration may be that you are 95% great at giving her meds. Hysterical. Anybody else?
Well, this is Lisa. You know, we were having a great week or two with Kate being able to control her impulses. I noticed several times over the past couple of weeks where her little sisters would do something that would regularly have sent her into, you know, either snatching something from them or hitting them or screaming at them. And she basically just, she still yelled at them, but the physicality of it was gone, which was great because, you know, we've been trying to teach her how to use her words, not her hands.
Muscle, yeah.
But then she did have an incident yesterday on the playground, which sort of trumped all the good success we've had, you know. So I was trying to think about, do we celebrate? I mean, I guess we do.
So I was going to say, that's a great question. Is it a reasonable expectation that she's going to have three steps forward and one step back?
Yeah, this was a big step back. She
okay.
Yeah. But, you know, right. it is nicer to see her being a little more tolerant of her sisters. And I think, you know, that's hard for her to do. So, you know, she is struggling with that and seems to be making some gains. But, yeah.
So, and just a place to look, and we'll see if it comes up again later. But as you acknowledge those successes for her and help her see those successes, there's a place for her to see, you know, how can she apply what she's doing at home in other places like the playground.
Right.
Right. So,
and it's all about finding the breaks for her. You know, it's you know, that moment before you react with your hands or your, you know, even your mouth or whatever, you know, it's helping her to apply the breaks, and that's hard. Well, so yesterday it was an odd occurrence on the playground where in her after school science camp that she goes to when she loves. And they take a break from doing the little science experiments, and they go out, and the teacher lets them run around on the nearby school's playground. And apparently she just, this little girl was hanging upside down on the monkey bars, and she just walked up and flipped the little girl's legs over so that she fell down on her head, you know, upside down.
Oh.
So, yeah, not good.
So,
the little girl was okay.
But she didn't do it, I'm betting, she didn't do it out of anger.
She didn't. Which,
no.
is, to me, is more worrisome than if she had.
Well, no, but think about it, okay? It's a totally different scenario because she wasn't angry. She wasn't mad. She wasn't reacting out of that anger. If you get curious, what do you think happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really was curious. It was just something to do to see what was going to happen.
Exactly. So there's still an impulse control issue, but it's not managing an angry impulse.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true, yeah.
Right? So what you're celebrating is the success that she's managing the angry impulses.
Right.
Effectively with her siblings.
Mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean she's that manages all impulses, but so do you see what I'm saying is that I want you to unpack that a little bit and see that it's actually a totally different scenario.
Yeah.
So in many ways it's not actually a step back, it's just it may be the next place to take aim.
Yeah, it's a lateral step.
Exactly. Yeah, and I know that you hope that if she manages it in one area, she's going to manage it in everywhere. But, you know, we are talking about a kid with neurobiological impulsivity issues, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some learning.
Yeah.
So, but great. Thank you for sharing that. It's a great, I think, indication of how we have to really get very specific on sometimes what we're celebrating and clear so that we don't undermine ourselves by seeing something as a setback that may not even be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who else? What other celebrations do we have? Gina, what about you?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't call on me. I am so sorry, but I'm in a place right now. I can't. It was a rough week. I really can't even figure out the smallest celebration.
Okay.
My oldest son, I don't know what's going on. He, it's like when I tell him, you know, like it's time to do something, I literally have to say it 6 to 10 times, and I mean, that's not been the normal scenario in quite a while, and he, and I know we're supposed to be celebrating successes, but it's just been tough. He's been back-talking a lot, and his impulsivity as well is starting to kind of get out of control, so
okay.
I don't know.
So there's definitely something going on with your son. But let me ask you a question. How do you feel about how you've handled it in this last week?
Bad and good. I mean,
okay.
There's been times where, you know, I think I've handled it well. But then, you know, we had several snow days where they were home several days in a row. And, you know, it just gets to you. Enough is enough. And it's with his siblings. It's me and it's his siblings too. So I'm just worn out.
I hear worn out, totally do. And I hear also some concern that there's a difference in behavior that you're concerned about.
Yeah.
Something else is going on. And I also hear that under sort of adverse circumstances, that you at least some of the time you handled it pretty well. You feel good about how you handled it.
Yeah, that's true. But I
no,
wish
but
that
stop
that...
there. Stop there
okay.
For a minute and just be with that for a minute before you immediately but.
Yeah.
Because what happens when you say but?
I know. Then I start dwelling on everything that wasn't so good.
Well, and you negate what you just said was true.
Sure.
When you say that's true, but well, you're really saying that's not really true. So say that's true and be with it for a minute. What part of it is true? Compared to where you were a year ago, did you handle the stress of this week better than you would have a year ago?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Did you hear how firm and clear you were on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a success. That's worth celebrating.
Okay.
And sometimes we have to really look and get clear on in what way is it better, because what we're looking for is such incremental improvement that we have this tendency not to allow ourselves, to give ourselves permission to acknowledge the improvement because it's not all the way.
Right.
And if we're starting at a D and today we're at a C, I'll take that over a D any day. Even if I'm not yet at an A.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Okay, and that we're going to talk more about that today. But so thank you for bringing that up. It's a perfect sort of entry to this conversation.
Okay.
Cheryl, anything you want to celebrate?
Well, I can sort of piggyback the first caller because my daughter, 4 A's and 2 B's, she did really well last quarter. She's doing really good, but I'm not feeling it today because I'm feeling really frustrated with the school because she's behind. She's been missing all these assignments. Recently, her English teacher complained. She did a month-long assignment in 15 minutes on the day it was due, and she didn't take music this year so she could have two study halls so that she could do her work in school because it is really difficult for me to pin her down to do any kind of work at home.
Well,
and,
is there somebody working with her in these study halls to get the work done?
Yes, there's a specific teacher there, and it's like she's always forgetting these English assignments, though. It's like a daily worksheet or something, and she says, I just forget it all the time, and I'm frustrated. You know, I had an incident that I talked about last time where her history teacher, I think, her second history teacher doesn't get her, you know, because she did the whole you're so rude and disrespectful routine with her, and, and then, so I don't know what's going on with school, but in, like, English and history, she had A's, and now she has C's, because I said, well, what is this letter you were supposed to write? And she goes, you know I don't do letters, you know? So I feel like, I don't know what she's doing.
So I hear that there's a place to take aim with school, and it sounds like helping her. There sounds like two things here. It sounds like there's a motivation issue for her as well as the management issue. So I'm going to push you a little bit, though. What is there to celebrate? What is going well?
Well, I guess it's good she actually did the assignment that day it was due. I mean,
okay.
I don't know.
All right. So
she
is got
getting
assignment
to school
done.
On time, not missing the bus. And I don't know.
All right. So that's getting to school on time and not missing the bus is another great thing to celebrate.
Yeah, she actually was worried about that before school started, but she's never really had a problem with it.
Because
much.
She's motivated to do it.
Yeah.
If she's worried about it. She's motivated. It's important to her for whatever reason.
And
figuring out what that reason is may be helpful.
Oh,
what do you think?
Yeah. Well, the two times she has missed, I've made her walk to school. I'll walk with her to school. It's just in our neighborhood, but still, she doesn't like to walk. And it's a little distant.
Great. It's a great natural consequence, Cheryl. Perfect.
Yes. She doesn't like it, but it's good for her, I think. It's good for me to walk with the dog.
Right. So let me use this, if I may, as a segue. And Julie, I know you've joined us.
Thank you.
Do you want to add a celebration real quick before we move into today's content?
Oh, no, that's no. I mean, I do feel like I've gotten better at the morning routine. I just go in and wake her up at 6:30, get her dressed, give her 10 minutes to stay in bed, and then I come back, and we've also added, a sound machine in her room that helps her sleep all night, and she's been way more present in the morning. So that feels great.
Beautiful. Sound machine, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Will you post that on the forum?
On Facebook?
Yeah, on the Facebook forum, will you?
Yeah, I'm not really on Facebook. I'm sorry. Facebook scares me, but...
Oh, do you not use the forum?
On there. Do what?
Do you not use the forum?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, if you think about it, send me an email, and I'll post it.
Okay.
Course.
That's great.
But
all
I think
right,
that'd be great to share with people, because it's a great idea.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's sort of transition to today's topic, and actually, several of you have had some things that you're frustrated with, so let's try to take aim very specifically before we move into topic. So, Julia, you want to start since you just were talking. Is there something specific on your mind this week that you want to take aim on?
How about we come back to me, because I've been a little flustered this morning.
Okay. All right. Gina. Are you there?
Sorry, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
I was talking, and I thought, well, why can't they hear me? I'm sorry, I had you on mute.
That's okay.
I don't know what to say specifically about my aim because I just feel because I'm a little bit overwhelmed right now with what I had talked about, and I don't know how to tune it in specifically. I'm having a hard time.
What I hear you saying is that you feel like there's something new going on with your son.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes. Because I'm
more
seeing some
less attention. There's something going on.
Yes.
And that may be where you want to take aim. I have a hunch that there's something going on. I want to see if I can figure out what's happening.
Okay.
I think that's a perfectly reasonable. I know it's not as specific as we usually say, but part of what you're trying to get to is to understand. And sometimes you just got to spend some time in that education realm, in that collecting information, and figure out what's going on.
Okay.
You know, the weather's probably not warm where you are, so it's probably not allergies. But this time of year, in some places, if the behavior starts changing, one place to look is allergies.
Okay.
Right? You know, is there a dynamic that's happening at school? Is there something that's happened with the teacher? Is that, you know, like, is beginning to explore, because all of our kids, you know, one thing can shift in their life, and it has this cascade effect on everything.
Sure, right. Yes, I totally understand that. Do you think, too, that there's a possibility, like, I understand that whole concept where we kind of, like, subtract 5 years of age, and I feel like I wonder if he's, like, between that where he acts younger, but yet he's trying to also be older, you know? And I think there's a struggle right now between that.
It's very possible. And sometimes what we'll see is if they start moving, advancing in some area, you'll see some regression in other areas.
Okay.
Right, before they bring it back up to level. So, you know, if he's, how old is he?
He's 10 and a half.
Okay. So, and he could be, at 10 and a half, it could be starting some pubescent kinds of things.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So right now, let's just take aim on, let's try to see what's going on with him. Is that good?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Cheryl, what about you?
Well, I guess I could try to, I don't know if I should talk with her English teacher or talk with her.
Well, don't get to strategy yet. What's the change you're looking to see? What are you taking aim on?
Oh, that she's doing all her work, her schoolwork.
Okay, so taking aim on taking advantage of the study halls and getting the work done in the study halls.
Right.
And making sure she's getting the supervision she needs to get it done in the study, get the work done in the study halls, right?
Yes, because she's forgetting a lot of stuff.
Well, and so there may need to be a system in place to help make sure she's got the information she needs. Okay.
Right.
And Lisa, what about you?
Well, you know, I guess it's what we talked about, helping Kate to control her impulsivity in more situations than just anger.
So we've managed some, the controlling impulsivity when angry, so now let's target controlling impulsivity when curious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to help you target it a little bit more than just impulsivity and say, so in this case, it was an impulsivity when she sort of wondered what would happen, right?
Right.
Okay. And Julia, you ready for something?
Yeah, thank you for giving me a little time.
No problem.
I would say to establish the routine when we get home from school a little bit tighter, because we started this thing of when you get home, you can unwind, you can watch one TV show, but then you got to do your homework. And then now we've added this another TV show in for a reward because you did your homework. And then she'll watch two TV shows and be like in a row and be like, I don't know, would be really mad when I'm trying to turn the TV off. And I'm like, hello, you didn't turn it off when you were supposed to. So I would say that little bit, like between 4 o'clock.
I want to specify. Are you talking about is it taking aim on handling it when the TV goes off, or what specifically are you talking about?
It would be coming up with a rule of that. Like, do you get to watch a TV show after you do your homework too, and turning it off? So, I mean, I guess I need to narrow it down to, let's just say, turning it off.
So it's about handling it when the TV goes off.
Yes.
Whenever that
is. Making sure she understands that, yeah.
So there's a clear expectation around it. I hear that, communicating that really clearly, which is great. But then we are really, what I'm hearing you saying is, when it goes off, you want her to be respectful about it and not throw it.
Exactly. That's
okay.
Perfect, yes.
Okay. So the taking aim is not throwing a fit when the TV goes off.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you. Thank you for helping me with that.
No, it's good. And I think that's something you can actually do something about, right?
Uh-huh.
When it's that
yeah.
specific, because then they know that the expectation of what you're working on. And I mean, I remember having that conversation with my kids years ago about, you know, it wasn't about whether it was going to go off, because it was. The question is, whether it was going to go on again was going to depend on how they handled it when it went off, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So today I'm going to talk for a few minutes about championing and celebrating, which is part of parenting positively. And we've spent some time on that already, and it's been a great example today of sometimes how hard it is to celebrate and how quick we are to disregard the celebrations and only focus on the problems. Right, and every one of us, except for you, Julia, because you came in late, you missed that part. But every one of us on this call, in some way, started with, "Yeah, that's a success, but." And so we've already talked a little bit about when we say "but," we're actually negating what we said. But the important thing here to start with is that there is no success that's too small to celebrate, especially for our kids, because. For a couple of reasons. One, because the solutions are in those successes, and that's so critical here, because that's where we're going to look for it. So when we talked, for example, about your daughter who was managing her impulsivity with her siblings, if she can understand how she did that, maybe she did self-talk, maybe she put her hands in her lap, maybe, you know, whatever it was, if she can learn a little bit more about how she achieved that success, if we can celebrate it and champion it that way, then maybe she can, in the conversation about, okay, so now when I'm curious, how do I handle it then? She can take that success and use it in another way. Does that make sense, or did I overstate it?
Well, that makes sense.
Okay. All right. So one of the critical reasons that we want to focus on celebrating is because that's where the solutions are. And so they have to see what they've done well and be able to understand it in order to use it elsewhere. Another reason that I think it's really important is because we're constantly in a battle against our kids' self-esteem. There's so much in their world that is challenging their self-esteem, that's knocking them down, that's directing them and correcting them and redirecting them and telling them they're wrong. And often because they are making mistakes and sort of being wrong more than typical kids. So celebration allows them to be right sometimes. And if you look at that positive, the research in positive psychology, that people need, you know, 5 positives to every negative, that's really hard for our kids to get. So celebrating successes, even the littlest ones, really helps balance that constant negative energy that they're getting. The term we like to use is catch them being good, right? And I think sometimes it's we have to remember to catch them for being good for the things that we would normally expect them to do. You know, just because it's their chores doesn't mean we can't thank them for it or acknowledge them for doing it. So, you know, my kid's job on Sunday nights is to take down the trash bins to the bottom of the hill, and yes, I expect them to do it, and I also want to say thanks for doing it. I appreciate it, because that's a way of celebrating their success and acknowledging that they did something responsible, something that was expected of them, but not just assuming it and then moving on to, but you didn't do da-da-da-da, right? So that's another important piece about celebration. And the term championing is an interesting term I just want to touch on. Let me just ask, when I say championing your kids, what comes up? What thoughts, or, you know, what do you think about?
Cheering them on.
Great.
Yeah, being
cheering
proud
them on.
Of that.
Being proud. Anything else?
Being a promoter of them.
Yeah, great. Being a
like getting behind them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's that next step. It's cheering them on and helping them believe they can do something. It's sort of believing in them. It's holding that belief for them. Not a false belief, but, you know, atta girl, I know you can do it. One of the challenges that our kids face, a lot of our kids struggle with anxiety, and we do have to be careful because if they don't believe we can do it, they can do it, and then we tell them that they can, sometimes that can add to their stress. So championing is this delicate balance of saying, I believe in you, and sometimes it may be acknowledging, you may not know you can do it yet, but I do, and I'm going to hold that for you until you do. Right? So it's helping them believe in themselves and helping them know that we believe in them even when they don't. And we want to be authentic and we want to be real. It's not, you know, I believe you can go become president of the United States. You know, you don't want to go tomorrow. It's not unrealistic. But it is about seeing what's possible for them, holding a vision for their success and encouraging them towards it. Does that resonate for people?
Yes.
So can anybody think of an example when you feel like you've gone sort of beyond success and actually felt like you were really a good champion of your child?
Well, this is Gina, and I feel last week and this week has been ISTAT, and before they started taking it, I asked each of my boys how they felt about it because they weren't talking about it, so I was curious, and each one had said they were stressed. And So I took the opportunity to let them know, you know, that they were well prepared. The teachers had done a great job getting them ready. They've done well in school, and, you know, just cheering them on. That I said, you'll do good. Just do the best that you can, and you know that I would support them and
beautiful.
Make sure
that's
that they.
It.
Yeah. So,
stunning example, actually, just fabulous. Because you had this sort of question, you were curious, you asked them, you engaged them, you stood for them. And this isn't your experience, but I'm going to sort of extrapolate. And if you have a child who doesn't necessarily do well in school or doesn't necessarily test well, you could do exactly what Gina just described, but go on to say, you know, I know how smart you are, and here are the different ways that it shows up in your life. And, you know, whether it shows up on the tests or not, you know, this is what we know to be true about you. So sometimes it's about sort of dismissing the world's voting on them, because the world is constantly voting on are they good enough or not based on things like grades and test scores, which is not always the best reflection of our kids' strengths, let's be honest. Sometimes it is, but not always. And so exactly what you described, Gina, is an opportunity to really stand for them and help them see confidently what they're capable of. And sometimes it's even going that next step and helping them see what their strengths are, even if it doesn't show up in that traditional way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So what else? What's coming up for people? What are you thinking about? What questions are surfacing or concerns, challenges? At the beginning of this call, and when I called for celebrations, it was really hard for almost everyone on this call to do. So what's going on there? What makes it so hard?
Because you forget. You forget the good stuff. It's easy to forget the good stuff, I think, because I'm so used to being worried about her or, you know.
Mhm. Yeah, so you forget the good stuff, because as soon as something's achieved, it's like, check, what's next? What's the next problem to solve, right?
Mhm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, this is Julia. I think this is probably a terrible idea, but it did work. And I know all nutritionists, dietary people would cringe, but like we eat pretty healthy and of course they hate it. But I bought a giant box of fruit snacks and I told like my 8-year-old and my 4-year-old, and my 8-year-old's one with the attention issues, like they get into it constantly. And I literally said, you know, this is not going to be like a program thing, but whenever I catch you being sweet to each other or being really helpful, I'm going to give you a fruit snack. And I know this is a good reward. I know it's bad, but oh my gosh, it worked. And they literally, like, Leah stayed downstairs the other night, like, by myself to help me load the dishwasher and clean off the table. And she was being so helpful. And then at the end, I was, like, praying there, like, that was great. So, and then she was, like, silent. Can I have a fruit snack? But it was, like, it gave me an opportunity, like, every time that they do something great, because they want a fruit snack, it's still just a reminder for me to, like, lavish praise on them. So
yeah, I love it.
Anyway.
So would you like a suggestion to add to it so that you don't feel guilty about it? Cause
I am more than open.
I do not think there's anything wrong with offering fruit snacks.
Me either.
You eat a balanced diet, you eat well, you're conscious of nutrition. You know, remember everything in moderation instead of including moderation.
Right.
But you may add to it, since they're in this sort of mode of responding to it, you may add a little point system where they get points when you catch them being good, and then they can use the points to buy fruit snacks or to buy books or to buy, you know, to earn things and have a choice of a few things.
Okay, that's good.
I used to use points for books. Well, they could use points for anything, but they got twice as many points if they
double
used them
point
for books.
No, but I mean, I feel like actually, whenever, every time that we have ever, like ever tried to implement a tracking system of anything, I have never been able to stick with it, and I'm disappointed in myself.
Don't do it strict, just do it loose. So you have it up on the board,
okay.
It's like, oh, you did so great, go give yourself 2 points.
Okay.
Just that simple. Don't try to, you get 2 points for this and 1 point for that, and, you know, nope.
Okay.
And then for every time they get 5 points, they can earn a fruit stack, or 3 points, they can earn a book, you know, whatever it is.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
But
the neat thing, though, is that the fruit snack, for me, has been a trigger. Like, the fruit snack's been, like, a physical trigger for me to go, praise, you know? So
yeah.
Fruit snack is rewarding me by giving me the opportunity, in a way, to praise, catch them doing something good. So it's like a physical reminder.
That. So don't take that away. Keep it with fruit snacks and occasionally do points and then eventually graduate into points for fruit snacks.
Point.
But,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
and if
great.
It doesn't work, don't use it. I'm just, what I'm saying is, what I loved about the points is I could say, you did great, go give yourself 2 points. Or 2 stars, or 2 whatever. And they liked that part.
Okay, cool.
You know, because they got to record it, and that engaged them physically in their success.
Okay, that's cool. Well, we can probably do that.
Yeah, but definitely don't make it complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really simple. Okay. But I love that you're enjoying catching them being good.
Yeah.
Yep. So is anybody, any other thoughts or comments? And what else came up so Cheryl was saying that it's so hard to remember the good stuff because we're on to the other stuff. What else makes it hard to celebrate?
Well, this is Lisa. It's the consequences of the behavior. You know, like, for example, the woman who runs the science camp where Kate, you know, pushed the little girl off the monkey bars, she asked my husband not to bring Kate back this week. So, you know, that's something we can't really control. I don't know that was the best response out of the teacher, but that it's her program and those are her rules. So, you know, there's a consequence for Kate in that, and she was really upset and crying because she loves going there. You know, another consequence.
Did she get to go back eventually?
She does next week, but
okay.
She's out for...
Then that's actually a really good natural consequence.
Yeah. But another consequence is that the girl she pushed off, they happen to be family friends of ours, and that's, you know, I mean, the mother was, she's a pediatrician, and she understands that, you know, kids are kids, and, you know, some have impulse control issues. But still, there's a, you know, I don't know. There's just the consequences of that make it hard for me to remember to celebrate the successes in the other areas. So just being honest.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is the overarching fear and concern makes it really hard to see the positive.
It does, because, yeah, you know, it's not just because the behavior in our family when she's impulsive with her sisters, at least it stays within the family. I guess I'm worried about her reputation preceding her. Like,
yeah.
Because teachers talk, and I don't know. I just, you know, I worry about that.
I totally hear it. There's a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of concern. And it, what happens when you don't celebrate?
Oh, well, then her self-esteem, you know, plummets. And, you know, I know that when I can remember to praise her for things, she just, you know, she lights up. And so, you know, I have to make a conscious effort to do that. Mm-hmm. We also do a point system, and it is very effective. And and as the other caller was saying, when you're able to stop and tell them, go give yourself a point, you know, you cleaned up the playroom without me asking, you know, go give yourself a point. It does help you to stop and remember, you know, seeing this big point system on our fridge, oh, I need to praise her for doing that. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, it helps.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing here is the struggle really is yours, not hers in this case, is that it's hard for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you like about it?
What's that?
What do you like about celebrating?
Well, I like to see her. I like to see her feel better. You know, I like to see her self-esteem rise. So,
okay.
And I know she internalizes a lot of stuff. So when she does light up and get excited about something, then I know that it's genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. So she gets that it's authentic and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what if you were doing it for you, not for her? Would that shift anything for you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that it's hard to focus on the celebrations when the impact of some of the other stuff is so severe,
mm-hmm,
right? And I get it. And it is, you know, knocking somebody off of a play structure can be pretty serious, right? And she didn't do it intentionally and all of that. So there's a piece here, like intellectually you know it's important to champion and celebrate. You know it's helpful for her. It even makes you good. So what will it take for you to make it a priority for you, to embrace it for you? Because it's hard.
Yeah, it is. I think we normally do a pretty good job about it. It's just weeks like this, which happen occasionally, that it makes it harder. So we have to try to find...
So when it's harder, how do you want to handle it? And this goes, it's the same thing for you, Gina. When it's harder to find the celebrations and the championing, how do you want to handle it? Because we know that's probably when it's all the more important.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I'll have to find ways, because, you know, you don't want to gloss over the things that the inappropriate things that she did. You don't want to make it seem as if it was okay that she did that. So I have to target the praise to, you know, the good things that she did do. So there has to
right.
be a balance of, you know, how do you react to what she's done that's inappropriate, and not let her know that, you know, it's okay to do that. But still focus on, like this morning, for example, the thing happened yesterday where she pushed the kid off the structure. But this morning we didn't talk about it because everything had been said yesterday. She actually, you know, she got up, she got herself dressed. She was asking me, how much more time do I have this morning? And she did beautifully getting herself up and out of the house. And so, you know, I commended her on that. You know, it doesn't make the fact that on Thursday, instead of going to science camp, she's going to write a letter to the little girl apologizing.
Right.
And, you know, saying that she hopes, you know what I mean? So those are the kinds of things that, you know, it was hard this morning.
Yeah. But what is possible if that, I mean, you've got some beautiful natural consequences from this experience, okay? She doesn't get to go back to camp for a week. She's going to use that time to write a letter. She's suffering the consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and yet it almost sounds like you feel like you should be focusing on it more because you don't want to gloss over it. But she's suffering the consequences.
Right. Now, I feel like that's all we're going to do. You know, she's had, you know, we've had our say. But again, you know, this morning, it's still hard for me as a parent to not necessarily forget it, but to get beyond it. So, but I did. It's just, it's more of a struggle. So
you need to be more conscious of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In these times when one thing goes wrong or haywire,
mm-hmm.
It the reminder then is I've got to find something else to balance it that's going right.
Right, exactly.
It's
yep.
all the more important to find something to celebrate.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's a lesson for you, a reminder for you, and I think for several people on this call, Gina, I would bet that would apply to you too.
Yes, I agree. Finding that balance, definitely.
The message is as soon as something goes wrong, and I think, I don't think I realize that, but I think I probably do this, as soon as something goes wrong, I always look for something else that's right. Because I need that to cope and to not get dragged down, you know, in that mire of negativity, which we could do. It's really easy. It's easy to fall into it, right? But there's more conversation to be had, for example, Lisa, with her about, you know, learning about that this is about managing impulses and here's how you've done it well with your sisters. And, I mean, it's not like it's the last conversation you're going to have about it. And, as you say, you don't want to smash her face in it to the point where she loses self-esteem. Because we all know what it's like when we do something wrong and we make a mistake and we feel really bad about it, then we beat ourselves up. If someone's constantly reminding us of it, you can't recover from that. So they have to be able to sort of deal with it, process it, let it go, come back later, let it go, come back later. You know, for their emotional well-being, they have to be able to deal with it in doses.
That's a good point.
Say a little more.
Well, I just mean that's a good point because, like, there have been a couple times where, like, me or my husband, I mean, it's mostly him, but I'm guilty of it too, where we've gotten on Leah about something, and it's been a couple things, like, in a row, and then she'll just break down, and, like, she'll just well up in tears, like, trying to hold it back, but her eyes just well up. And I realized that maybe a different child may be able to handle that, but she can't. And that's a really good point to just kind of be for me to be really aware that let's just tackle one thing at a time instead of,
mm-hmm.
you know, you hit your brother, you threw the couch off the thing, it spilled this and that, you know, like just.
Right. And another thing.
Right.
Like, when you're in a fight with your spouse, and another thing, is that fair fighting?
Right. So that is
right?
helpful for me to realize that.
Yeah, that's a great example. What's coming up as you're saying that is I'm just thinking about how that whole concept of fair fighting and how you know, the whole idea is to only deal with one thing at a time.
Uh-huh.
And to not be barraging our kids, you know, with too many things because they can't process it all. And
so
here's just an idea. Think back to a time in your life, and it may be, you know, when you're younger, maybe even more recently, when you've done something you feel sort of embarrassed about. And choose anything. You don't have to, nobody has to share it, I promise. So when you've done, does everybody have something?
Yes.
Okay, we all have something we're embarrassed about, right? Because we're
right.
human, right? So when you've done something you're embarrassed about, how do you feel when someone reminds you? When someone brings
like
it up.
Like a shame. More
right.
embarrassed.
You already know you feel bad about it. Do you really need someone else to remind you?
Right. It's like, thanks a lot. I know.
And that's sort of what we're talking about, is that we want them to learn a lesson from it. And so sometimes we have this tendency to overdo. When we'd be much better off letting them learn the lesson and coming back and then mentioning it again, you know, a week or two later. Yeah, you remember that time when you can do it without shame and without blame and without guilt, and when you can really fail forward with it. Yeah, what'd you learn from that? You know, instead of, like, if we get so insistent that they learn something that we actually sometimes can interfere with their learning. So what's coming up for people? What are y'all thinking?
I think I had a conversation with my daughter just this weekend, sort of like that, because I was saying something about, oh, she lost her wallet, and I was trying to, I thought I was being very good, compassionate, saying, you know, well, we need to have a structure in place because this is part of ADHD, you're just like this, and she was very defensive, and you know, I think she felt like I was rubbing it in her face that she's forgetful or she loses things. Like I was reminding her, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And after some yelling, we kind of talked through it.
So sometimes it's about finding the right time to have the conversation. You know, I know that with one of my kids, I have to introduce a topic and then leave it. And it may take a week to have a conversation about something because she can only handle it in small doses, and when I see her shutting down, I stop because I want her to be able to process it. And she can make herself feel way worse than I can, and she's going to continue to think about it and process it and think it through when we're not talking about it in the back of her brain somewhere, right? And so I'll bring it up every couple of days or, you know, week or whatever until we get to a point where it's like, if what I'm looking for is some action or resolution, you know, sometimes it takes seriously a week to have a conversation. Because I don't want to lose her in the process. And I think that's the piece here, is that celebration really helps us balance all of that negativity that they get. So take a minute. What do you feel like each of you focused on in this conversation today? What was your focus and what's your clarity? Whether you're using your workbook or writing it on your journal or wherever you are, just what did you focus on or pay attention to today, and what's your clarity or takeaway?
Okay, this is Julia. I'll go. My clarity, I took away a lot, and that was fruit snacks are okay. Don't feel guilty about it if it's working. And
good.
To add, you know, maybe develop that into points and things like that. So that was awesome. And the second thing was just to remember that she needs like 5 times more praise than probably the average kid needs. Catch her doing stuff great. Right. And the opposite is true. The exact opposite is true for criticism or focusing on what's not going right. The opposite is true, whereas, like, I need to just break it down into one little thing at a time and be very slow to dig in and drive down a hole. More or less, I need to have more of a wide approach.
Mm-hmm.
And not like
yeah,
a penetration approach. Like,
That's a super observation, is that we want to pound on the praise and meter out the
yes.
redirection.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great observation. And so what action do you want to commit to, if any? Is there a realistic action step for you?
Well, it would go back to the TV thing to establish those guidelines and really praise her when she willingly turns it off or abides or respects that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think realistically, I think I need to write it down. Like, I need to write down the rule and post it somewhere so she and have
yeah,
a little discussion
or,
about it.
Or communicate
so
it clearly
clear.
In whatever form works, right?
Yeah.
And so that's, I was
right.
going to say, how can you set yourself up for success? And one is to communicate it really clearly, right?
Yeah.
The other is maybe to agree with each other when she's going to have a warning.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
When she gets, does she have notice before it goes off? Like, if you just walk mm-hmm. up and turn off the TV, what's going to happen?
Right. A fight.
Right.
Resistance.
Right. But if you say, okay, remember, this show is over in 5 minutes, and when it's over, I expect you to get up and turn it off. Are we good?
Uh-huh.
Right. You set the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, immediately reward it. Then you begin to reinforce a positive.
Right. Thank you. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. And who else? What's your clarity from today?
This is Gina. I'll go. My clarity is definitely trying to find that balance and find some positive amongst the chaos and not forget about those positives, even when I'm feeling overwhelmed or even, you know, kind of crushed or you know, hurt. And then I think what I'd like to work on is, in addition to figuring out what's going on with my son, is remembering to bring up the positive with, you know, to him while we're trying to figure this out. So
there's a, if y'all will forgive my language, and if I've shared it before, I may have, but the term is a shit sandwich. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
No. Yes.
So whenever you approach, you need to approach something negative, you want to start it and end it with a positive, right?
Okay.
So you start with an acknowledgement. Hey, kid, you've been doing this, and great lately. And then you move into, and I notice you're really struggling with this and this. Okay, I'd like to talk about it some. And then you have the conversation, whatever. Or you're scheduled a time later to talk about it. Sometimes that could be great. I really want to talk about it. I know now is not the time, but can we talk about it at such and such or whatever? And then you follow up, but really, you've been doing such a great job with da-da-da-da-da. So that
okay.
you couch the negative in a sandwich of positive, which is a much nicer way to say it. But
sure.
But it can really, it sort of dampens the blow and gives them something else to hold on to besides I'm a terrible human being.
Yeah, and without somebody, you know, without him being defensive right away. I that totally makes sense. It will take a little
yeah.
practice on my part, but
it does,
I...
It does. But you'll always remember it because I called it a shit sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, have you noticed you'll never see it on the website, just so you know. That's one of those private little gems.
Yeah.
Great. So any action for you to take specifically?
I think just exactly what you said is to start the conversation that way.
Great.
So,
and with where you are with your son right now, I just want to encourage you to just be really, really curious.
Okay.
Just really hold curiosity. I you know, something's going on. I just want to check in with you because I'm concerned about you. It feels like something's going on, right? Not you're doing something wrong or I'm worried about you. But, you know, checking in kind of thing. And just get really curious.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Who else? Lisa, what's
Cheryl.
Your clarity
Let somebody else go in. This is Lisa.
Yeah, what's your clarity, Lisa?
Well, you know, I was just sitting here looking at Kate's latest report card, and from the first term, she had all under conduct and work habits. It was all in progress. Like 10 things, which is the polite way to say things aren't going so well.
Right.
But she's made it up to the highest for everything. And that's what I have to remember, you know, display self-control. And the thing is, like, you know, she's doing great for the most part. It's just these little blips, and that's, you know, I've got to find the balance for myself.
Well, and where I really want to point you is to work on, and if you're doing, I don't know if you're still coaching with IAM, but to get some coaching potentially around getting a system in place for yourself to shift from that negative to the positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're an analytical brain. You go to the what's wrong,
mm-hmm.
and so you're going to need to come up with a method for yourself to shift to the celebration and to the positive, because it's not a natural thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's not a good or bad thing. You're an analytical thinker,
right?
Right. So to recognize that this is actually a stretch for you, and it's worth taking the stretch.
Right.
Okay. And who did we miss? There was somebody else.
Hi, this is Megan.
Megan, did you just join us?
I did.
Oh, what a riot. I'm going to hold you for a second because I think that there may be a time glitch.
Am
you.
I on the wrong time?
It may be.
Okay.
But there's another call in an hour, and I'm betting that's what you're calling for.
Yes. Okay, sorry. I got really confused this week with my calendar.
No problem. The time zone has messed up a lot of people this week.
Okay. I'll call back in an hour.
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. And who did we miss in terms of following up?
Well, I was going to say I'm going to follow up with one of our teachers. And it was really helpful to hear that you say, like, your child needs really small doses of the conversation. And I think my daughter is like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she keeps losing her wallet and you know, she feels bad about it. I don't have to keep reminding her, or, you know, so I could just say some wording, like you said, sort of, I just want to check in. Do you want to talk about that maybe? Or
does she need her wallet?
Well, she keeps losing her money, yeah.
does she need it to have money at school? Is that the deal?
No, but she earns allowance, and, you know, she keeps her money, and if we go to the store or she wants to get something, she can't ever find it.
Got it.
So, yeah, and sometimes, you know, she has like $20 or $30 in her wallet, so I've tried to tell her.
Maybe just getting a consistent structure might be really helpful for her.
Yeah, a different one, because I tell her, put it in one spot, designate one spot, but that doesn't seem to be working.
Right. So instead of telling her, what I want to challenge you with is to help her come up with a structure that works for her. Right? Because what you're saying makes sense, but if she doesn't come up with it on her own, she may never do it.
Right. Right.
You know, like, my kids have got, like, a bank thing, and I collude with them. One of them gets to hide it in my office. Right? I never would have chosen that spot, but she did, and she loves that it's there. Right? So engage her in the process of, I know this is frustrating for you when you lose your wallet. I'd love to help you come up with a way to make this easier for you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So thank you all, as always, for your commitment to yourselves and to your kids. Any final sort of final words or commitments or clarity from today?
It was a great call. Thank you.
Pleasure. I enjoyed it as well very much. Have a great couple weeks, everyone.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.